Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Get a Return on Failure Fail, Smarter Return Stronger by John C. Maxwell is a leadership and personal development book centered on the productive use of failure. Maxwell, known for accessible writing on leadership, growth, and influence, treats failure not as an interruption to achievement, but as part of the process by which judgment, resilience, and maturity are formed. The book belongs to the practical leadership genre, but its subject applies beyond formal management roles to entrepreneurs, professionals, coaches, and individuals recovering from setbacks. Its purpose is to help readers change their relationship with failure to expect it, examine it, learn from it, and convert it into better future decisions. Rather than presenting failure as something to be minimized through caution alone, Maxwell emphasizes preparation, ownership, reflection, and renewed action. The central promise is not that failure becomes pleasant or harmless, but that it can produce a meaningful return when processed with discipline. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, failure is treated as feedback rather than final defeat. A central idea of the book is that failure should be interpreted as information, not as a verdict on a person's ability or future. Maxwell frames setbacks as signals that reveal gaps in preparation, assumptions, timing, skill, or judgment. This distinction matters because people often respond to failure emotionally before they respond analytically. If failure is seen as proof of personal inadequacy, the likely reactions are withdrawal, defensiveness, or blame. If it is seen as feedback, the same experience can become a source of correction. The practical value of this approach is that it moves the reader from shame to diagnosis. A failed project, missed opportunity, or poor decision is not ignored, but neither is it allowed to define the whole person. The book, therefore, encourages a disciplined review of what happened, what can be learned, and what should change next time. This is especially relevant for leaders because their interpretation of failure shapes whether teams hide mistakes or use them to improve performance. Secondly, confidence grows when fear of failure is reduced through experience. Maxwell connects resilience with confidence, but not in the sense of shallow self-assurance. The book suggests that confidence develops when people face failure, survive it, and learn that it does not have to control their future behavior. Fear of failure often narrows choices. It makes people avoid risks, delay decisions, or overprotect their reputation. By contrast, someone who has processed past setbacks can act with greater steadiness because failure is no longer an unknown catastrophe. This does not mean becoming careless. It means distinguishing between responsible risk and fear-driven avoidance. The value for leaders is clear innovation. Growth and influence require decisions made under uncertainty. If the desire to avoid embarrassment becomes stronger than the desire to improve, leadership weakens. Maxwell positions confidence as a learned capacity built through repeated recovery. The reader is encouraged to develop enough emotional stability to take action. Evaluate outcomes honestly and try again with better insight rather than allowing one setback to produce long-term hesitation. Thirdly, ownership replaces the victim response after setbacks. The book places significant weight on personal responsibility in the aftermath of failure. Maxwell does not deny that circumstances, other people, timing, and uncertainty can contribute to poor outcomes. However, his emphasis is on the part a person can own, because that is the part that can be changed. A victim response tends to preserve the pain of failure by turning attention toward excuses, unfairness, or resentment. Ownership, by contrast, asks what the reader can learn, repair, improve, or decide differently in the future. This shift is important because it restores agency. Without ownership, failure becomes something that merely happened to a person. With ownership, it becomes material for growth. In a leadership context, this distinction affects culture. Leaders who blame quickly may train others to conceal problems, while leaders who model responsibility can normalize learning without removing accountability. Maxwell's treatment of ownership is practical, because it does not require controlling every outcome. It requires taking responsibility for interpretation, response, and next action. Fourthly, failure becomes useful only when it is intentionally processed. A key implication of Maxwell's argument is that failure does not automatically produce wisdom. People can repeat the same mistakes for years if they do not examine their assumptions and responses. The book therefore treats reflection as the mechanism that converts pain into value. Processing failure means slowing down enough to ask concrete questions: what decision led here? What warning signs were missed? What strengths were overestimated? What counsel was ignored? And what should be done differently? This approach prevents two common errors. The first is denial, where a person moves on too quickly and loses the lesson. The second is rumination, where a person replays the failure without extracting useful direction. Maxwell's framework points toward constructive review rather than emotional looping. For professionals and leaders, this has practical importance because organizations often reward speed but underinvest in after-action learning. The return on failure comes from disciplined interpretation. Without that discipline, failure remains a cost. With it, failure can become preparation for better judgment. Lastly, leaders use setbacks to refine strategy without abandoning purpose. The book's leadership relevance lies in how it separates purpose from method. Maxwell's broader leadership writing often emphasizes growth, influence, and perseverance, and this book applies those concerns to the experience of failed plans. A setback may reveal that a strategy, process, partnership, or timeline was flawed, but it does not necessarily mean the larger mission should be abandoned. This distinction helps leaders avoid two extremes. One extreme is stubbornly repeating a broken approach because changing course feels like admitting failure. The other is quitting a worthwhile objective because the first method did not work. Maxwell's emphasis on returning stronger suggests a more adaptive stance remain committed to meaningful goals while revising the route based on what failure has revealed. This is useful for entrepreneurs, managers, coaches, and team leaders who must make decisions after disappointment. The book encourages readers to treat failure as a strategic resource, not merely an emotional event, by using it to sharpen priorities, adjust execution, and build steadier leadership habits. In conclusion, How to Get a Return on Failure is best suited for readers who want a practical leadership-oriented treatment of setbacks rather than a technical study of risk, psychology, or organizational failure. It will be especially useful for managers, entrepreneurs, coaches, ministry leaders, team builders, and professionals who find that past mistakes have produced hesitation or self-doubt. Its practical benefit is the way it gives readers a usable sequence: expect failure, face it honestly, take ownership, extract the lesson, and re-enter action with better judgment. Its intellectual benefit is more modest, but still meaningful. It reframes failure as a process problem and a growth opportunity rather than merely an emotional wound or personal label. Compared with many books in the self-improvement category, its distinctiveness comes from Maxwell's leadership lens. The focus is not only on feeling better after disappointment, but on becoming more effective because of it. The book also stands apart by emphasizing return, a term that implies measurable value gained from an otherwise negative experience. Readers seeking dense research, case study depth, or academic theory may find it more accessible than exhaustive. Readers seeking clear principles for resilience and leadership recovery are likely to find its directness useful. If you would like to support John C. Maxwell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around!